Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth, coming to you from the studios of Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn, little speaker on the broadcast, delighted that you have taken the time to tune our way to, as we study the Word of God, we'll be looking at the matter of the heart, serving God with singleness of heart, serving Him from our hearts. And we trust it'll be a real blessing to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we're going to make a few comments, then we'll have a song, and we'll get right into the Word of God. We'll be looking at Deuteronomy and chapter 6. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege it's ours to share the Word of God. We don't share it because we're anything special. We share it because it is the Word that you've given us, a Word to understand how one can be saved and be a child of God. The Word that shows us how we can serve Thee in an acceptable, pleasing way. And dear Lord, what a wonderful privilege that is. The God of all eternity, the one that holds everything together, says we, puny man, can serve me and honor me, and I will love him. And so, Lord, we commit to you this program and ask that you would work in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, no matter where they are, no matter what their circumstance, that, Lord, they might turn to Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We commit this message to Thee and each of these dear folk in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to share just a little bit with you, as we have in a couple of weeks in the past, the traveling that we just did in January. And I know you're hearing this after that, but the traveling we did in January, my grandson and I over into West Africa, and just to see the heart of people, and this is something I want to share with you, the heart of people. I remember while we were over there, we went to a place called Faith Island, and that's a good word for it, because you walked across a two-plank, and when I say plank, probably 2x8 size or something like that, which is 7.5 inches, so you'd had 15-inch wide board. It's about that wide. And you walked about 200 yards on something like that, two different sections. What's interesting is that you passed other people while you walked on that. They'd be going the other way, some of them carrying big baskets and all that kind of stuff. And you just had to get by them and hope you didn't fall off into the swamp at the one place, which was really mushy area, and then over the next section, which was over the river. Now, that river gets completely wide, actually floods over that bridge, so you can't even walk over to the island when it's in the rainy season. But you get over that island, and you know, it's a lot of blocked huts that they make out of their own sand and dirt and cement. But then there are also thatched huts over in that island. And, I mean, we went into this church to have a dedication of the church. They had just completed it. And I wish you had seen the crowd of people in there. There must have been, and I don't know the number. I didn't count them, but there must have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 people in there, maybe even more. And there were people outside. People were excited. They didn't know what a dedication was, I don't believe, but they were excited to be there as part of that. This was their church. And, you know, even if it didn't come to it, it belonged in their community. It belonged in their village. I mean, that village is cut off from the outside when the rainy season comes, and that's coming. Somewhere around the end of March, thereabouts, it'll come, and they will be isolated. I guess some of them do move on to the mainland, but it's really interesting. You go out there, and you see people who are just loving the Lord and serving the Lord and faithful to the Lord. We had a great service, and there were a good number that came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the thing that really impressed my heart, and this was in many different areas, these people don't have what we say we think we must have, and yet they're as happy as can be. They're rejoicing. They weren't waiting on anything from us that we had to give them anything. They came there because they wanted to hear the Word of God, and they rejoiced in the Word of God. Now, they don't all have Bibles because there's not that amount of Bibles there necessarily, And some of them are a little bit, English is not a clear language to them. They speak it, but they don't have a good understanding of it as they would their own tongue. But I just thought it was just such a wonderful blessing to see here. And we were at Peace Island, and that was another interesting place. But you see, here are people, our missionaries have said this to us. We must go and reach our people for Christ. They're going to die and they'll go to hell, and Jesus may come back today and they will not have heard the gospel and they'll be lost. Their burden is for their people that they might be saved. That's what we have in mind as we're teaching here on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if our service isn't focused on trying to reach people and disciple people for Jesus Christ, we're wasting our time. And so that's why we teach. That's why we go forth. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we visit those mission fields. That's why we try to reach the trucking industry, because these are people who need Jesus Christ, or else they need to be discipled as they're traveling up and down the highway. And I wish you could hear some of the stories that they tell us and how much of a blessing the chapel is to many of them as they come. Sometimes they're not able to stay. They just pop in and say, hey, thank you for being here. I wish I could come, but I've got to make this appointment. And understand it, my friend. And some of those appointments that they have, if they're not there on time, they get fined by the company that they're hauling to. It's ridiculous. I never faced that, but that's what's going on today. So these people have to keep a schedule. They must keep rolling, but they'll pop in, and we've had that numerous times. They come in and say, hey, thank you for being here. We appreciate it so much. And you know, beloved, that's what we ought to hear. You know, people ought to know that we care about them. And may not be able to minister to them as effectively as we'd like because of constraints, but they know that we do care about them. Well, we're going to get into a song, and then we're going to get into Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look at this matter of serving the Lord acceptably, serving Him from our hearts.
Someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. If God should let me there review the winding paths of earth I knew, it would be proven clear and true. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. Step by step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way. And hither to my Lord hath led. Each step I tread, and soon in heaven it will be said, Jesus led me all the way. step by step each day. I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way.
Amen. What a great testimony that is, and I hope that's your testimony, dear friend. Jesus led you all the way. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about serving the Lord from the heart. And when we're talking about that, we're saying, hey, allow God to work in your heart to direct you and lead you in the path and in the way that he wants you to go. Look, if you will, with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's one of my favorite passages. You say, well, you say that about everyone. Yeah, pretty much so. But anyway, seriously, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's taking every part of us. And beloved, I'm not going to take the time to turn to those passages, but you can look in the New Testament and the Lord refers to this as the great commandment. He does that in the book of Matthew 22 and verse 37. He does that in Mark 12 and verses 29 and 30. Luke 10 verse 27. This is the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And another portion of scripture says thy mind. In other words, your whole being ought to be focused upon the Lord so that when he calls you to a task or leads you in a direction, you will follow him with all your heart. Notice verse 6, if you will. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That's exactly what he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 that and 9, that he's supposed to have that word in his heart. He's to follow the Lord. Now, beloved, you don't have the word of God in your heart unless you spend time in the word of God. You get the word of God as you read and meditate upon it. Then you get the word of God as you're under the sound of the preaching of the word of God, that you open your heart, your mind to the word. And then as you pray and seek God's face, he guides you. It's so often, it's interesting that you pray and God brings a portion of scripture. I mean, you're praying about a specific thing and God sends a scripture to your mind. And you say, well, wow, I didn't think about that. It's something you've read. It's something you've meditated upon. And so he says, they should be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So in other words, the word of God is to be paramount in your life. My friend, how important is the word of God to you? That's how we get to the place where we serve the Lord with our hearts. And that's how God wants us to serve. We're to serve him with a joyful heart, we read in Ephesians 5:19. We're to have our hearts fixed upon the Lord in Psalms 57 and verse 7. And then we're to have a discerning heart. And again, that's in Ecclesiastes 8 and 5. And Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. It was rather the end part of his life. He had gone through all the frustrations of life. He caused those frustrations. No need for you and I to cause those frustrations, but he did. He gave his heart to all the things. You go ahead and read Ecclesiastes. And finally comes about that discerning heart, having a discerning heart. Well, you know, that's what he prayed out in the very beginning of his life, as we read on last week's broadcast, that he prayed that the Lord would give him a discerning heart to discern things, to think about things. And so, you see, as we serve the Lord, we're to hide his word in our heart. I love that Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's a deliberate action from our heart. We must put the word of God into our hearts and our minds. But then we, from our heart, need to set forth a testimony for the Lord. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he talks about a sanctifying the Lord in your heart. You know, put that high pinnacle place for him. Let him have a rulership of your heart. Give him the reins to your heart so he might guide you, turn you, lead you as would please him. Now, you see, the actions of serving the Lord, the second thing we want to really look at is our attitude. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. We're looking at serving the Lord, and it's our actions. Now, it comes from the heart, no question. But now we go to chapter 5, and I could quote this to you, but I want to turn there. I want you to turn with me, and we want to look at it, and we want to read this portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor. Now notice, we're talking about serving. So wherefore we serve. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. In other words, if I'm serving the Lord and boom, he calls me off of this earth, yeah, I die. If he comes back, that I'm faithfully serving, he said, that we may be accepted of him. Is my service acceptable to him? Now, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. We'll develop that a little bit in just after this song that we'll hear right now.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
praise the Lord, be thou my vision. And you know, that's the focus that we ought to have, that God would be our vision. Now we're looking at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and we've looked at, we read verses 9 and 10. And what I want you to take a look at here with me is this fact of wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him. In other words, our service to the Lord ought to be for his glory. Not that men would see what we've accomplished. My goodness sakes, whatever you accomplish, if you're trying to serve the Lord, if you've accomplished anything in your life, you've done it because God did it, not you. Now, he used you. Praise the Lord that you were of usable, and so he could use you. But we need to get into our minds that in our serving of the Lord, you know, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is a requirement to those who have been born again. So if it's a requirement, then it's nothing special that I have served the Lord, except that I honor the Lord by my service. Paul is saying here to these people that he wanted them to see his testimony for the Lord. And now that we ought to try to do, that we ought to try to accomplish, but not whether or not they see how much I've done. They see that I have been faithful to the Lord. And that's what Paul's getting at, because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive those things done in our body. And notice this, according to that we have done, whether good or bad. In other words, the attitude of our heart. Why did I do what I did? I mean, and I'm talking about something good. I'm not talking about bad. Why did I do this? Why did I teach that class? Why did I go out on visitation? Why did I? What was the purpose behind it? Was it so that God would get the glory? I mean, I have to tell you this. A lot of times I've done some of those things because it just blessed my heart to do it. And I hope that was a good enough reason that God would be pleased with it. But, you know, it's just the fact that you've been honored to do that which you have done. And it's just our reasonable service. I think that's where Romans 12 comes in. We're to be a living sacrifice in verse 1. And a living sacrifice is one that is committed completely. There's no holding back. When Isaac was placed in that altar by Abraham, there was not going to be a coming back off of that altar. Now, yes, Abraham believed, according to Hebrews 11, that God would raise up Isaac from the dead. He believed that. Yet he'd never seen anything like that. It's interesting to me that he would have that kind of faith. But he believed if God made his promise that Isaac was going to be the seed and from Isaac would be a multitude come, then God surely couldn't do that from a dead body. And so if he offered his son, he believed that God would raise him up again. You know, what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father sent his son into this world. How could he do anything for us and do anything about us if he's dead? But the point was, he bore our sin in his body on the tree. And we're told in Romans chapter 4 that we are justified because of his resurrection. You see, he paid the price for our sin. That was paid. But then God raised him up from the dead, that so he could justify you and I, make us right with God, even though we had been awful sinners. Well, you see, that's a picture here that he's giving to us in Romans chapter 12. Our service to the Lord. First of all, we give ourselves over to be that sacrifice. Not for man's sin. We can't do that. But we give our hearts over and say, Lord, here it is. Anything and whatever you want. You know, I was just perusing over some of the old missionaries. I mean, the ones that you might say laid the groundwork for missions and so forth. And to see the sacrifice that many of those made, and many of them did not see the fruit of their labor in their field. Some of them served for like 20 years with no converts. Now, in today's society, we'd have told them we're going to drop your support and all that kind of thing. How tragic it is that we don't have the vision that our forefathers had. You think of David Brainerd, who worked with the American Indians, and particularly in Pennsylvania, but in a number of areas. And how he died, I believe, was age 29, never got to marry Jonathan Edwards' daughter, although that was in the plans. And he dies in service. And you read of many of these other, now they're old missionaries, but they went on the field and many of them passed away before they hit 35 because of they succumbed to whatever was on the field. But they had laid the groundwork. You see, beloved, I don't have to see the ultimate fruit. I just need to be faithful. God will take care of the fruit in his time. So I need to be faithful. So as that sacrifice, I place myself before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. There's nothing, but you can have it. That lamb of the first year hadn't done anything, but it was of the first year, and it was a sacrifice, and it was laid on that altar, and it was the payment for the sins of mankind. Now, it was a picture of when the Lamb of God would come, even Jesus Christ, who's spoken of as the Lamb of God in John 1:29. But what I'm saying, my friend, is God wants you and I to put our lives on the altar. Say, Lord, here it is. You can do it. If you can use me, praise the Lord. And if you don't want to use me, well, that's up to you. But I'm giving you everything. I am going to submit everything to you and allow you to honor yourself with my life. Now, dear friend, is that your attitude? You see, in verse 14 of chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again." My friend, God is looking for people, you, me, everyone that's saved. He's looking for us to so love the Lord Jesus Christ, to so love the Word of God, that we'd give ourselves over to him and say, Lord, whatever you want, here it is. Whatever you can do with this, do it. And God will bless abundantly, and only eternity will reveal how God has used you as you submitted to him. Father, stir our hearts to love and serve and honor thee in all ways. Again, if there's anybody listening that's not saved, oh, dear Lord, I don't care if the church member's baptized and taking communion and all those kind of things. They need to be saved. I pray that they call upon thee today. Invite you to save them, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. My friend, if we might be able to help you spiritually, please contact us. You can contact us by email, wot@wotbm.org. Or you can write to us, Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA.